Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans this morning. The book of Romans. Obviously, today is Resurrection Sunday, where we take time to truly remember the completed work of Christ. We take a moment to, again, truly give God glory for what he has done, for his resurrection, and what that does for us. A lot of times people focus just on the cross. And I will say both of them, the cross and the resurrection, are necessary for our salvation. If there was no resurrection, we'd have a problem. We'd have a big problem. And in Romans chapter 1, and in verse 4, here it is talking about Jesus Christ. And it says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time that you have given to us, that Lord, we would take this opportunity to glorify you and what you have done, to recognize truly the power in your resurrection and what that means for us in this life. I pray, Lord, that we would take these things, we would learn of them, and above all, Lord, that if there is somebody here that has not trusted you as their Lord and Savior, they have not believed about your death, burial, and resurrection, that, Lord, they would do that this morning. That they would contemplate these things and realize what it is you have done for us. That they would respond correctly and obediently to your calling. And Lord, again, I just thank you for having somebody come and tell me of my need for a Savior. I thank you for the salvation that you gave to me so freely. I thank you for your Spirit that continues to teach me and guide me in this life. And Lord, I just pray that we would all be reflective of that this morning. And all of these things I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans 1 talks about there's power in the resurrection. And here we are talking also about the holiness. And I dare say that one of those things is not to be separated from the other. You cannot separate the holiness of God from the resurrection. Because again, when we understand the power of God, who he is and what it is he has done, we understand that that is part of his holiness. The fact that he would not leave the body of Christ in the tomb to rot, that he would resurrect him, as it says here, with that Spirit of holiness, according to the Spirit of holiness, we see that that is necessary for us as a believer. When we start thinking about the resurrection, and again, as we talked about last week, we contemplate that with the helmet of salvation. And salvation is not just the cross, it's not just the death, but it's the life that's involved. And we'll see some verses here from 1 Corinthians in just a moment. But one thing is very clear is that in order for us to live this life according to that Spirit of holiness, we truly have to understand that the only way we can do that is by the power of God. The Bible says, be ye holy. That's a tall order, isn't it? That's a tough thing to think about. How are you going to accomplish that? You couldn't accomplish it before salvation. You think you're going to accomplish it after salvation? Without Jesus? Absolutely not. It is necessary for us to understand the principle of the resurrection and how we use that in our day-to-day life. At the end of this message, we're going to conclude with an example of a practical use. An example of a practical use. But throughout this, I want us to understand that one of the main words in this passage, in this verse, is the word power. If you don't have power, you're not going anywhere. If your car doesn't have power, it goes nowhere. If you have no power at your house, things are difficult. If you don't have power to get up in the morning, and many of us don't, you need a little extra juice to get the things going, to get going in the morning. But I dare say that a lot of times people do not live this spiritual life with power. They're essentially a gutted out Volkswagen Beetle with no engine, and they try to push that thing and get it going, and it just doesn't do anything. It's worthless. It's scrap. And if you don't have the power of God in your life, it's going to be difficult to live it. And the power we find comes from the Word of God. The Word of God is called the Word of Life. The only way that we understand what the Word of Life is to understand that life comes from the Prince of Life. And His name is Jesus. That is a title He has given over there in the book of Acts. The Prince of Life. And life requires power to live. And I'll tell you this, man is always trying to take power away from God. Man's always trying to rob God. Whether it's of His glory, His holiness, His righteousness, whatever it may be. But I will say this, people are always trying to take power away from God. They're trying to take power away from the Word of God. They're trying to take power away from the resurrection. They constantly and consistently do that throughout all of Scripture, throughout all of history. And when we go over, and if you will, go over to 1 Corinthians, and in 1 Corinthians 15 is where we're going to be hovering around a lot this morning. I want just to understand, the church at Corinth was a divided church. There was a lot of stuff going on. And as I've said before, one key thing is that I know this, is that heresy will divide a church. False teachings will divide a church. Look, the Word of God is the Word of God. If somebody has something that believes contrary to what the Word of God teaches and what the Word of God says, generally they want to try to get followers unto themselves. Generally they try to drag other people with them. And whether their intent is to go set up another church or whether their intent is to do something else, I will say it is very clearly, those type of things from Scripture we find divide. Paul points it out in this church. This church was very conflicted. This church had a lot of contention. This church had a lot of things going on. And I will tell you this, one thing that was being pointed out was there was a problem where people were teaching that the resurrection never happened. My question would be, then why do you even meet? What's the purpose behind it? Why? I mean, you're better off going doing something else. And Paul even kind of notes that here. This passage is indeed addressing this heresy and saying, look, if you don't believe that, you're not believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because as he goes through in the very first part of the chapter, in chapter 15, he talks about this gospel. In verse 3, he says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. We talked about that last week, amen? He died according to the Scriptures. It was prophesied he would do that. Then in verse 4, it says, and he was buried. And we see that in the Gospels. All four of them point out he was buried. His body was placed in a tomb. And it wasn't just placed in a tomb. In order to make sure that nobody got in, they put a stone over the door. And furthermore, and to make sure that nobody went in and did something, like steal the body, they sealed the door. But the door was opened when they came to view the tomb. And it says in verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If that never happened, What is it we're believing? What is it we're believing? He talks about how he was seen of all these individuals, and he's testifying of all of this and saying, look, this is what needs to be preached. And he talks about this in verse 11. He says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. I want to clarify this. There's a lot of people in this day and age that will say, and they will testify, yes, Christ was a historical figure. Yes, we see him. There's actual documentation that shows he existed. Yes, there's actual documentation that even shows he was nailed to a cross. There's all these things, these records throughout all of it. But if that's all there was, you are still in your sins. A resurrection was required. How would there be conquering sin and death? Because death comes by sin. How would there be a conquering if that resurrection did not take place? How would there be any type of power of God? Because again, where's the power of God? I mean, here we see a death. There was two other malefactors that were nailed on the cross with him that died. What about them? But they didn't rise up. Jesus did. Christ did. And he conquered that sin and death. It is a crucial aspect of the salvation plan that God has laid out in Scripture. It is part of believing who he is as Jesus Christ. As we continue on a little bit here in verse 18, it says, then they also which are fallen asleep, those are those that are dead in Christ, are perished. Meaning they're in hell. There's no hope for them. In verse 19, he says, but if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And he makes it very clear here to combat the thought process and the teachings and what people were saying in the church, he addresses this heresy by saying, look, if that doesn't happen, then everything you do is absolutely worth nothing. Why live in holiness? If you're just going to die, if there's no hope of a resurrection. And furthermore, this teaching not only is teaching that Christ didn't rise, but saying that you won't rise. That there's no resurrection hope for you. That when you die, you die. It's over. That's the Buddhist teaching. Buddhists teach that as you go through this process of living, you keep getting reincarnated, and hopefully you get reincarnated to a better level and you don't go degrade down to, you know, being reincarnated as a fly. You get, you know, go through this process, because then you only got 72 hours. You better live that life as a fly really good. That never made any sense to me. But anyways, whatever. You know, through all of that, You get reincarnated and you're supposed to live these lives and you're supposed to be bettering yourself through all these reincarnative acts to the point of where you get reincarnated to a point of where you no longer exist anymore and you become one with the universe and blend into it in what they refer to as nirvana. That is false. That's a heresy. That's a false doctrine, and it'll lead you straight to hell. The Bible says there is a life. There is an eternal, conscious life after this one. And you got a choice of places to live. Two choices. You got heaven, or you've got hell on a lake of fire. And that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I mean, some people are sitting there going, "Hey, man, I'm going to go to hell and I'm going to party with my friends and I'm going to do stuff." Nah, you don't hear that much anymore in these day and age. But no, go read the account of what happened over there with the rich man. There was probably a few other people down there with him, but he never saw any of them. That's a terrifying thought. That's a terrifying thought. You know, some of us can't stand to be alone. Being alone, having no one around, oh man. Talk about torment. But that being said, we find that the Lord talks about how we will be raised up with Him. Right now, we are seated in heavenly places with Him. We have the baptism that we do with the water, again, not to save somebody, but again, to show and demonstrate that there's a new life that occurs because of what Christ has done. And what we find from this passage is as Paul outlines these things, he outlines some very important principles. First and foremost, those who profess to be Christians, those who profess to be believers, must believe in Christ's bodily resurrection. Because if they don't, then there is none for you. He had to be the first fruits of that resurrection. And He was. And He is. And many more are to follow. But what we find that is a requirement in the first part of the chapter. That is a requirement for believing. Paul preached Christ's resurrection as a bodily event. He didn't preach it as some sort of, as some people say, well, He didn't rise from the dead necessarily, but He lived in their hearts and, oh, please stop. That, no. He didn't live through them in that weird way. That's not what happened. He was walking around and He was seen of hundreds of people. Hundreds of people! I mean, how would you even explain that? If you have like one or two people, maybe it's a conspiracy. But a few hundred? No, they wouldn't be able to keep their mouth shut about that. He preached it as a bodily resurrection, as it actually occurred. And I will tell you this, many times we don't often think about that. In our day-to-day life, how many times do we think about the fact that Jesus Christ raised bodily from death? To just pause and think about that. You can't do that. You can't lay hands on a person and raise them up. All of that comes from the power of God. And if that power is not there, if God's not there, then why are you even living life? It was Jesus Christ. Look, If Christ is not resurrected, we cannot break free from sin. He mentions that right there. And he says in verse 17, you're yet in your sins. And I will tell you this, sin is a bondage chain you cannot break. You cannot break. And people are like, well, you know, I see people all the time that are unsaved, that they get over some of their vices. They get over drinking or, you know, a smoking habit or a drug addiction or whatever it is. And I see them do that. But they don't understand the fact is that that's not the sin that's necessarily at the root of it. Or excuse me, it's not the root of it. The root of it, the sin, is the rejection of Jesus Christ in our, the rejection of God in our pride, saying, God, no, I will not come. I will not respond to the gospel. I will not respond in obedience. I will not say, I will, you know, confess him with my mouth and believe in my heart. I will not do those things. You know, they're still chained to that sin. They can't break that. There is no amount of good you can do to correct that. There is nothing in this life. Why? Because everything that you do, let's just put it this way, is pretty powerless. We do not have the ability to keep our own bodies alive. Look, how many times have you heard, and for a while there, I heard a lot of them, these people that were physically fit, they're the ones that ate right. They ate the right portions. They ate the right things. I mean, they treated their body well and things like that. And generally, they were runners. You know what? For some reason, there was a period of time in my life, a lot of these individuals that I knew that were runners, they were dropping like flies. So I said, I guess maybe I don't run. But I'll tell you this, you know, here they are, they're living life, and they're living and thinking they're going to live and stuff like that. There was this individual, he was running one time, he was over in Lake Oswego, and he was a runner, he was a physically fit guy, and he's running on a cold day, and he does his run, and he's feeling good and everything, and gets in his car after he's all, you know, cold, but, you know, still kind of warm from that, gets in his car, fires up the heater, and dies right there, because there's something that happens when that occurs. You can cause your heart to stop. People are like, wait, what? He just died right there. Physically fit guy. Could he control it? No. He couldn't. No matter what we do, we can't keep this body alive. And we try in vain through healthcare and living right and nutrition and doing all this stuff. And those, you know, those things are important to make sure we take care of our body. But I will tell you this, you still don't know. You still don't know when you go into an emergency room and the doctor starts talking to you about cancer and surgery. You still don't know when you're lying in a hospital bed and you're pleading with God, God, I can't take this anymore. When you start thinking that way, you begin to realize you have no control. You have no power over your own body. You need power from somewhere. And it comes from Christ. That's the only way you're going to break free from sin. If he was not resurrected, obviously those that had passed away already, they were gone. There was no hope for them. There was no hope for them at all. And if we, you know, have any hope in this life, I will tell you this, it's only going to be found in Christ. And if Christ isn't resurrected, then where's our hope? And I will tell you this, you are miserable. You're making your life absolutely miserable and hopeless. What do you have to have? You have to have the belief that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. If he didn't, where's the hope of salvation? Where's the hope of salvation? And I will tell you this, as he says here in this passage, we have hope in Christ. In verse 20 he says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. And this is where our hope lies. And again, it's not some sort of, like I have said before, I hope I win the lottery. I hope I get this, I hope I get that. You know, all these things. No, it's not that kind of hope. This is something that is sure. Because if Jesus Christ rose from the dead, do we not think he can do the same for you? Now, I want you to keep that thought in mind for a moment. Now, if you're saved here this morning, you believe you're going to be resurrected in your body. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to have a new glorified body. Oh, I look forward to that. Bob looks forward to it. Dennis looks forward to it. We all look forward to it. Amen? We look forward to that. And I'll tell you, that's sometimes the only thing you can think about. Is at some point in time, you're like, man, I am wanting that new bottle because this thing's just starting to, you know, it's way out of warranty and they don't make parts for it anymore. So I got to figure something out. But I will tell you this, our hope is in him, and we know this hope. We have the sure hope, and this is what should guide us. Because again, the only way that Jesus Christ is resurrected, and if you go through, and just as an example, 11 times in the book of Acts, it is says that God raised Jesus from the dead. There is the power. The power aligns with God. The power aligns with him. The hope of salvation is found in the resurrection, and it is the power of God that we know that sin can be defeated in our lives. If there's no resurrection, obviously we're still in our sins, but since there is a resurrection, and we know there's a resurrection, and there's a power in the resurrection, and there's a hope in a resurrection, I have hope knowing for certain that God can deal with the sin in my life. That's the only way. Go over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. This entire chapter's a great chapter. And he talks about rejoicing in Christ and not having any confidence in the flesh. All of these things, but I want you to jump down there to verse 10. We don't have time to read the entire chapter. But in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, here it is talking about Jesus Christ, that I may know him. And that is God. Jesus Christ is God. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And here it is, he's saying, look, this is something that we should all desire. This is something that we need to have. And that is a knowledge of God, and if you will, knowing the power of his resurrection. Knowing that it is only by his power that the resurrection was possible in the first place. It is only by his power that forgiveness of sins can take place. It is only by his power that our sins can be washed away. It is only by his power of the resurrection that we realize I have a new life in Christ. And if I know that, then I know he has the power to help me live it. To help me live it. Take a look at verse 21. We know this, he says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working way whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And I will tell you this, you know, if you wrestle with the flesh, I dare say you're not thinking about the resurrection enough. If Christ can subdue all things, do you not think that through the power of his resurrection, he can help you subdue your flesh? That he can bring it into submission? that you can actually tell your flesh, no, you dirty little dog, no. Shut up and sit down. You're along for the ride. I'm living for Jesus. What we need to do is we need to look at our life and say, where is the power to accomplish what God has asked me to do? And we find that there's the power in His resurrection. That we may know Him and the power of His resurrection, he says. And I'll tell you this, that when we strive, what we strive for in this flesh, what we try to do in this flesh is no comparison to what God has done and what God can do if we understand the power of His resurrection. And I'll make it very clear here that this gives us the foundation on which we stand. You go over there to Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it talks about standing, right? Turn there. It's just a couple of pages over, Ephesians chapter 6. And he tells us very clearly that we're supposed to stand. And he says in verse 12, or in verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he talks about in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. But how do we know, how can we do that? What's the practicality of it? How can I accomplish that? I'm glad you asked. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of yourself? Your flesh. You're going to will it so. No, in the power of His might. Do you know how mighty you have to be to raise a body from the dead? I'm not talking about CPR. I'm not talking about an AED where you charge the guy and, you know, zap him. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about dead. Lazarus kind of dead. 4 days. In a tomb. There's a lot to be said about that whole thing. But there he is. He's in the tomb. He's dead 4 days. Christ raises him from the dead. Restores the physical body. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing to think about. It's an amazing thing to just consider. And again, when we start considering that, and we start considering that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and His body had no problems, and was completely exactly what it needs to be, the glorified body, here He is showing very clearly, hey, if that can be done, you can stand against the devil. You can stand against those temptations. You can stand against those wiles. You can stand against the principalities and powers and the spiritual darkness that is permeating this world today. You can stand. You can make that stand. But it's only going to be in the power of God. Which is why you've got to take the helmet of salvation and keep your thoughts framed. If God is doing, has done this, then God can certainly do this. If you take a look back over there at Ephesians, or excuse me, in Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4, as he's just talked about the power of the resurrection, talking about what the Lord has done. In verse 1, he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And there's the therefore, and there's the part where he says, so. And it's going back to that previous that says, Keep this in mind. If God's going to give you a glorified body, and God's going to raise this body, and God's going to handle all of that because He did that with His Son, Jesus Christ, and you want to know the power of the resurrection, that is how you're going to stand, dearly beloved. Every single day, you need to consider the fact that, yes, Jesus Christ died on the cross. Yes, He shed His blood for your sins. But He also rose again. And there is the power of God. I want you to go back over to 1 Corinthians, and I want you to see some practical use here. In 1 Corinthians... Hold on just one moment here. Sorry. Go over to 2 Corinthians. Let's try that. Second Corinthians. Here he is in the second letter to this church that has struggled with heresy, that has struggled with division, that has struggled with all these things. And here's the practical use of taking the power of Christ's resurrection and using it in your life. In verse 4, it says, though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. This is chapter 13, 2 Corinthians 13. Might help if I gave you a chapter, amen? You guys are supposed to be reading my mind. Come on. Read my mind. 2 Corinthians 13, and he says very clearly in verse 4 that Christ lives, that Christ is alive, and though he was crucified, it says there, though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. You want to know how you accomplish the stuff that he tells you to accomplish? How you accomplish Galatians chapter 6? How you have the fruit of the Spirit in chapter 5 of Galatians? How you cast all your care upon Him. How you walk circumspectly. How you put on the whole armor of God. How you put off the flesh. How you put on Christ. How do you do charity? Right here. You can't do it in your weakness. You do it by understanding that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that by His power He lives. And we have the same power, and if I'm going to be living a charitable life towards somebody else, if I'm going to be forgiving, if I'm going to be kind, if I'm going to be tender-hearted, if I'm going to be doing all of those things that sometimes we look at and go, man, how can I do that? Keep this in mind. You can do it if you keep your thought on the Lord. If you keep your thoughts in the Word of God. If you keep all of those things about the Prince of Life at the forefront of your mind and realize, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And what is that? We put on the helmet of salvation and say, I can do that in His power. I can't do it in mine. I can't do it in mine. Take a look at verse 10. 2 Corinthians 13, 10. He says, therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest, being present, I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me, to edification, and not to destruction. That's a very interesting little verse.
It's a very interesting little verse when you realize that he's saying, look, if I have to write another letter, if I got to show up to get these things in order, things are going to be a little sharp. You're going to feel a few pricks. You're going to feel a few cut to the heart. Why? Because it's the Word of God that's going to do it. Because he's talking about the power. But I want you to notice how he phrases that. He says, according to the power which the Lord hath given me. And a lot of people just stop right there with that phrase. But what are the last two words? To edification. This is why meditating on the Word of God, and meditating on the power of God, meditating on the resurrection, and meditating on the power of the resurrection will help you do what the Lord has called you to excel at. Edify. How do I make another Christian realize the growth that is needed in their life? How do I plant? How do I water so that the Lord will increase in their life? How do I do that? And I'll tell you this, the only way you're going to do that is to realize it requires your thoughts to be focused on the resurrection. And it doesn't happen once a year. It doesn't happen around March or April. It doesn't happen just when a message is preached about resurrection. Christian, you need to have that thought in your day-to-day devotion. You need to have the thankfulness in your day-to-day devotion, saying, Lord, thank you. There is power. There is power. There's power in your resurrection. There's power in what you've done for me. Because I know that the life that you have intended me to live and live for you according to the will of God, according to the will that is clearly outlined in your word, the only way that I'm going to do that is to go back and say, if you can raise Jesus Christ bodily, you can give me some help with victory over a sin. You can help me be edifying to another believer. There's the power. There's the power. Paul talks about power all the time. He's talking about how power should be existing in our life. But it all goes back to the power of the resurrection. The power of His might. We can't do those things, folks. But God, but Jesus Christ, our Savior, who rose from the dead, can. I dare say that every single day of your life, if you go through and you praise God for the salvation that you have, and you think about the cross, and you think about the blood, and you think about the burial, you think about the resurrection, I will tell you this, you will not struggle with the issues of eternal security. When you're thinking about what He has done for you, and you realize the only way you're doing anything right now is through Him, through His power, you will understand the victory that was won that morning when He rose from the dead. That's what we're talking about today. That's what we come here today to remember. But let's not make Resurrection Sunday one day of the year. Make Resurrection Day every day. Every day of your life. and you will begin to know the power in God. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for this time and opportunity to be here this morning. Lord, I can never say it enough about how thankful I am for all the blessings that you've given. I can never thank you enough for what you did upon the cross. I can never thank you enough for the blood. I can never thank you enough for the sacrifice. And I can never thank you enough for the resurrection, which is how I live now. Lord, I pray that each one of us that has heard this morning will just understand the very simple intent of the passage, the very simple intent of these verses that we've looked at. All power lies with you, not within ourselves. And how we get through day to day, Lord, will all depend on how much we think about that resurrection. I pray, Lord, that we would realize that hope would guide us and direct us in this life, that we would not just casually think about it, Lord, but truly seek to know you, seek to know that power in our life, to please you, to live for you. With everybody's head bowed and everybody's eyes closed, I'd just like to take a moment of an opportunity to ask if there's somebody here today that has not trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You understand that there's an important principle, an important part of that. That salvation is not only because of that death, but it is also because of that resurrection. Many a good man have died, but there's only one that died for your sins, and there's only one that rose from the dead. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to take this time and opportunity to invite you to come. In a moment, we're going to sing a song. We're going to sing a hymn. And while we sing, if you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, just come. Look, nobody's going to point you out. Nobody's going to mock or anything of that nature. But at some point in time, you need to respond. You need to respond to that power. And now's the time to do that. Christian, if you're here today and maybe you're struggling with a sin, maybe it's a secret sin, maybe it's something that's an open sin, maybe it's something in your life that you're not living the way you're supposed to be living for Jesus. Maybe you haven't thought about the resurrection enough. And maybe you haven't thought about the power of God in that. If that's something you need to get taken care of, get it taken care of today. If you need counsel, come see me. If you need to just come pray at these steps, pray. If you need to do it in your seat, pray. But here we are, realizing the power of God in the day that we remember His resurrection. Turn to that. Don't try to do it yourself. Turn to the Lord. Again, Lord, I just thank you for this time. And I pray these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.